This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Let's go! Roquan Smith just decapitated Aaron Jones. What's that bull doing?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Touchdown! There's the record breaker for Jonathan Taylor!
H.M., have a game!
The Rich Eisen Show.
Keenan Allen, reception number 956.
Today's guests. Seahawks defensive end, Leonard Williams. Monday Night Preview. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Hello, ESPN Radio, presented by a Progressive Insurance audience listening to us, Sirius XM audience. Hello to you. If you're listening to us on our podcast, we appreciate it. All 3 hours available. At the same spot, you can listen to the latest episode of Overreaction Monday, recorded before the show, meaning recorded before we learned, as we did in about the last 20 minutes, that the New York Giants have parted ways with Brian Daboll. So we've got a new interim coach in the National Football League, and it belongs to the New York Giants, Mike Kafka, the offensive coach that's been around there, Philadelphia as well. He's going to be taking the reins of the New York Giants, who lost in Chicago yesterday despite leading 20-10 instead of 24-10, like maybe Daboll would go back in time right now and try and go for a touchdown on the half-yard line rather than settling for a field goal. The Giants will be visiting, going back home to take on the Packers next before they go to Detroit, and then a Thursday night visit to New England. So that's only against a 5-2-1, 6-3, and 8-2 teams. Good luck, Mike Kafka, in that gig. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Leonard Williams of the 7-2 Seahawks after boat racing Arizona, getting set to take on the equally now 7-2 Rams after they boat raced the 49ers in the spot where Super Bowl 60 is going to be going down in February. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your phone calls in a matter of moments. Don't you worry about all that. So I'm, again, fortunate to do what I do for a living here and NFL Network and other opportunities that come my way, as you know. I'm able to globetrot calling games.
Call you Meadowlark Rich.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Oh, God. Or Meadowlark Eisen.
Meadowlark Lime.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. Or, screw it.
Curly Eisen.
Meadowlark Etrog for those. It's a Sukkot reference for all those non-Jews out there.
Yeah, I don't
know. At any rate, the Jews right now are pulling over their car laughing. Listen, I've been able to see a couple Chargers games in person. One of them I called a Chargers home victory in Brazil. And last night, as a spectator, I watched a Chargers road victory in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
because that was a road game.
Sure was.
In the home of the Chargers last night. I don't care what they're, you know, with the bugles and first down and all the Charger PA guys screaming and yelling at me for four quarters. Look at that shot on the screen. That's not Pittsburgh, PA. That was SoFi Stadium on Sunday night.
A lot of terrible towels out there.
Dude.
My buddy has Charger tickets. He texted us that he went to the bathroom, and it was 40 Steeler fans and him.
Honestly. Honestly. But the Chargers fans were the one last standing, and they're the ones who know you got to beat the traffic. You got to get going. There was one shot on the Oculus last night when it was 22-3 or 20, whatever the hell the score was at the time, and they showed the fans leaving en masse, and the Charger fans who were there were just giddy, excited.
A bit.
Because this team that is down their all-world left tackle, only to be replaced by their terrific future right tackle moving to left tackle, and Rashawn Slater and Joe Alt, they're missing those guys. They were the ones who were delivering the blows to the team that turned the Colts over six times last week and the Steelers. And the Steelers drew blood first with their serial killer of a kicker hitting one from the middle of the lightning bolt in the middle of the stadium.
Yeah.
From 59, 60 yards out. Serial but killer. Khalil Mack, got things rolling for the Chargers with a sack safety of Aaron Rodgers, beginning a very long night for the Pittsburgh Steelers offense. Very long night. Steelers went 2 of 11 on third down. You are not winning football games. Giving up a sack for a safety, unable to protect your quarterback, not getting the chunk plays down the field, and certainly putting your defense back on the field because you can't convert a third down for your life. Jalen Warren had another nice game, but Aaron Rodgers, it looked brutal last night. He couldn't do anything. And you got to tip the cap to the Chargers on that front because they watched the Broncos go to 8-2, and the Chiefs are sitting at home on a bye week at 5-4. Last thing you want to be, man, coming out of this mix is you're only a half game above the team that, or a game and a half, but one game, let's put it this way, one game in the loss column without putting more distance between you and the Chiefs after you beat them in week one and you've beaten everyone in your division. So just keep winning these games. You've already won games in division. And win a game like this in the AFC, this is a massive win for the Chargers. Absolutely massive win for the Chargers, who are now 7-3 as opposed to 6-4 over the Chiefs. Had to have it. They are in the mix for this division 100%. And then the Steelers. I mean, even in week six, right, when they're 4-1, coming off their bye after winning that game in Cleveland, or against Cleveland at home, and they're 4-1, and the Ravens lose to the Rams, and they're all banged up, they're injured, they're 1-5. Even at that point in time, there's still people saying, this is the Ravens division. And the Steelers had a 2.5 game lead after week six. They're going to enter week 11 with a 1-game lead. That's it. And the Ravens offense is cooking, even though they, you know, it's not easy against Minnesota. But the Ravens are now a game behind the Steelers. And the Steelers win over the Colts. That just got erased by the Los Angeles Chargers last night in front of the home faithful. And by that, I'm referring to the Steelers fans who were there last night. Really, I mean, it's loud in that building. It always is loud in that building because neither Los Angeles home team can let you sit in that stadium in silence for a split second. And I'm not talking about the fans. But and I sound like an old man on the front lawn. I should not.
Your text message did seem a little front lawn.
Listen, SoFi is an incredible stadium. Like, you go in there, and it's like you're watching a game through VR goggles. It's unbelievable. But long story short, it is a wildly missed opportunity by a Steelers team that could not do anything well last night. Other than, I guess, I mean, not even kick, right? I mean, their kicker, their serial kicker, killer of a kicker, missed one too, which was a surprise. And Mike Tomlin was chippy with the media after the game, and I can't blame him.
I'm not lacking confidence. I don't need a pat on the back. We stunk it up tonight. We'll be back.
Is it just one of those games, literally?
I'm not trying to frame it in any way. I'm just telling you guys what happened. You guys write the narrative.
How would you assess Aaron's performance tonight?
How would you? Next.
Do you think you could have run the ball more often?
Guys, like, 0 for 9 or 10 on third down, you're not going to have enough snaps. Like, we've been over that discussion a lot. Next.
A lot of nexts. Oof. Something out of the Drew Rosenhaus press conference lexicon. Next question. Rodgers talked about he was a little bit off, is what he said. I've got to play better. I will. If it's better checks, if it's better throws, whatever it is, I got to play better. I will. Well, they have to, because it's now one game difference. And I'll tell you what, you finish second place in this division, you might not make the playoffs. You may not make the playoffs. This may be a one-team situation. Oh, and by the way, guess who in the middle of this soliloquy on the AFC North is just returned to practice in a limited capacity? His name is Joe Burrow.
Heard of him.
There you go. I knew he wasn't going to sit around and go, oh, we're 3-6. Oh, we might be 3-7. I'm not coming back. God bless. A doctor may step in. Mike Brown may step in. I don't know what's going to happen. But, boy, have the Steelers had that 4-1 situation leading a Ravens team at 1-5 and a Bengals team that was clearly, after 6 weeks of this campaign, struggling with Jake Browning. Now they look towards Flacco. They've only won once since. This is now you'd look at the Ravens, and it was everybody could see it coming, right? The Ravens at 1-5, coming off their bye with Lamar coming back. Everyone's like, here we go. And then Snoop Huntley had a start. That win with Snoop Huntley is something that we may be looking back towards the end of this season, once the regular season in January hits and then moving into the later parts of January. We may be talking about that win by Snoop Huntley coming out of the bye at home against Chicago, which that win only looks more and more impressive. Like, we take a look at it in terms of college football terms, right? Victories that become stronger as another team begins to get stronger after you beat them. This is now two wins in a row with Lamar being back. The defense, though, that's the answer. That's the one. The defense that in the first five games of the season, giving up 37 points to Kansas City, that was their best in terms of points allowed in those five games. And then the defense gave up 17 to the Rams. Puka did get hurt in that game, but it's still a Rams team that we've seen what Stafford's done since then. It's done nothing but throw touchdowns and no interceptions, and all they've done is keep winning. 16 points against the Bears, 6 against Miami, and 19 against the Vikings yesterday. That's the win, and now they're at Cleveland and home for the Jets, and then they've got Cincinnati. Who knows? 3 weeks from now, if Joe's limited now, maybe they come back. That would be amazing. Prime Video is basically begging for that to be a Burrow return game in Week 13. If not, you'll see Burrow maybe Week 15 against the Ravens. They've got two against the Ravens. The Ravens have two against Cincinnati and two against Pittsburgh left. Their next game is at Cleveland, which is announced. It's still Dylan Gabriel's show after the Browns lost to the Jets. Jets, who are now, by the way, 2-0 against Ohio, and then winless against the rest of where football is played in America or internationally.
Somehow that makes you feel just a little bit.
Oh, listen, you know I love, you know, when somebody can say, oh, we don't lose against Ohio. At any rate, I digress.
Tom Petty.
But the Ravens, this is kind of like right now playing out like one of those horror movies. And I know this is like the Steelers fans thinking this is a horror movie. It's like those horror movies. It's just like, okay, listen. Don't you see the guy with the axe standing right there in your shed? Why are you walking outside without your phone or no lights on? What are you doing? You know, the calls are coming from within the house.
You really going to go down to the basement?
By yourself, knowing what's happening?
Yeah.
I mean,
come on.
You're walking to the basement in a movie with the words Halloween in the title. By yourself?
Yeah, come on.
Don't you hear that noise with the hockey mask guy standing outside like he's Ashton Gentry waiting for a handoff?
Could never be me.
Listen, it's happening. It's happening. Everybody saw it coming. Ravens are only a game out of first place. And Lamar, again, what do we don't call it a balaclava. What are we calling this?
Oh, a shiesty.
A shiesty? Okay. I mean, indoor shiesty, outdoor shiesties, 80-degree shiesties. He's still wearing it because he's coming for you with his shiesty. Hit it.
Do you feel this team has turned a corner yet?
Yeah, but, there's still a lot of ball left. You know, we got to stay locked in. Can't be complacent or nothing like that. You know, we got to stay locked in. You know, everyone's happy when they win, you know, but I feel like our mood hasn't changed. You know, we still locked down. You know, we still feel like we won the Falcons. We're still behind, you know, in our division. So we got to, like I said, can't get complacent, stay locked down.
Yeah, I look at him like I look sometimes at some of these guys in the gym here in Los Angeles, you know, with their pimples in spots where there shouldn't be pimples. And they're wearing these winter hats working out. And I'm like, listen, where I'm from, that's a necessity, not an accessory. You know, that's a cold weather gear. Why? I can't get over it.
I mean,
why is he wearing like that?
He played in a dome
yesterday.
He just
played indoors. And then the last time he did it, he played in South Florida.
That just might be a cultural thing, because I'd be wearing Scullies.
Okay.
You know.
But that is a ski mask. That is like, it's 0 degrees, and I need to feel my face after.
You know what he does? You know what he does? You know what? If you're the Ravens, it's just like, you be you, man. No ping pong tables? We get it. Long-term deal? We got it. Because all he does is win football games. Yeah. With the win in Minnesota yesterday, he now has 73 wins in his first 100 career starts. It was his first 100th career start was in Minnesota. Look at the names he's on this list. Most quarterback wins in his first 100 career starts in NFL history. He's fourth on the list. That win yesterday separated him from the snake, Ken Stabler. Once upon a time, as you know, studied plays from the light of a jukebox.
I see five Hall of Fame.
Three deep, baby.
Three behind Staubach and Brady, five behind Mahomes. And everybody on that list are Hall of Famers or future ones. So how about that 73% win percentage for Lamar Jackson? Not bad for a converted receiver, right?
Still waiting on Bill Polian. Still waiting for that route tree to be
By the way, guess what? They might be able, if Bill Polian, knock on wood, may he be so lucky, can one day be at that induction ceremony and be able to, as Lamar unveils his bust with the jacket put on him, say, yeah, sorry, made you say no to working out at the combine as something other than a quarterback.
Is Lamar's bust going to have one of those?
Yes, the first ever shiesty bust.
Why not?
By the way,
that would be great.
I can't believe these are words I'm saying, but hey, man,
Lamar's shiesty bust.
Is there any question the Ravens aren't winning this division right now, Bueller?
I mean,
it's still
stunned if they didn't.
Like I said, the Steelers had a path, and that path has been blocked.
It's not. That's the point I'm trying to make. It's not blocked, and it's not over.
But you're not feeling good about it.
Would you bet your firstborn?
No, I would not.
Definitely not his third.
I told you, what was it, 2-3 weeks ago? Like, I look at the Ravens' schedule, and I don't know the next time I won't be picking against them. And it may be that game against the Patriots if the Patriots keep winning. But New England's got to go to Baltimore. Man, some old school stuff right there, right? Yeah, John Harbaugh against the newest Patriot. I'm not, victory laden team. That's the only way I'm going to go and call them right now.
No, it's still New England.
Still down. But again, two against Cincinnati, two against Pittsburgh, and their next two are against Cleveland and the Jets. I think it's amazing. For the second straight week, we saw the clocks turn back. One actual and one figurative. Browns and the Jets turn back the clock.
Remember my higher register?
Turn back the clock.
My higher register last week was that the Jets, despite everything that happened, were probably going to beat down the Browns.
Well, my higher register last week, the Jets are going to win more than you think. His higher register was about Caleb Williams,
Williams.
So we all hit.
Which is why, Del Tufo, you were wrong in going higher register about that. That was a good segment. Because it really was. You don't have to go higher register about it. I love checking our work.
Despite the fact how long it takes to get to that point.
All right, that's your AFC North update. Let's take a break. Your phone calls, when we come back, we'll talk about the Bears. Leonard Williams and the Seahawks still to come here on this busy Monday.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
This message is sponsored by Navy Federal Credit Union. As the holiday season rolls around, we know that you strive to do everything you can to bring cheer and joy to your loved ones. And as a credit union dedicated to serving all veterans, active duty, and their families, we understand that every little bit counts. That's why, for a limited time, you could earn a $250 cash bonus when you spend $2,500 with Navy Federal's Cash Rewards and Cash Rewards Plus cards in the first 90 days. But the giving doesn't stop there. You could also earn up to 2% unlimited cash back with these cards. So saving up for whatever the season brings just got a little easier. Give joy. Get joy. Join now at NavyFederal.org. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. Visit NavyFederal.org/cashrewards for details. Cashback terms and conditions apply. Offer ends January 1st, 2026. As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. Let's talk about O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. They offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts, accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts, too, can test your battery for free in or out of your car. And if it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. That's how helpful they are. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you'll find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance along with Disney Plus and the ESPN feed as well. We're live streaming every single day. Let's go to Michael in Arkansas. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Michael?
Rich, I'm doing, I guess, okay. I thought I was going to end up jumping off a building last night after watching my Steelers looking like the 60s.
I'm sorry to hear that, but you seem in good spirits this morning, though, Michael.
I'm getting better as okay. I go along. Once I had my cup of coffee and sitting here relaxing in 25 degree weather. But I have a serious question for you, Rich.
Sure.
It's been a couple of years since I've spoken to you.
Okay.
Do you still think Tomlin should be our head coach?
Oh. Why are you looking at me like that, Chris? Why are you looking at me?
I'm just, you know,
Chris knows.
I'm awaiting your response.
Chris knows. What does he know, Michael?
Chris
he knows.
Knows.
What does he know? I know what you know. I let's put it this way. I think he's a Hall of Fame head coach. I think he is remarkable at plugging into the athlete. I think he is remarkable at taking the passion for football and instilling it in a team. And I think that if this falls apart, I wouldn't be surprised if the Steelers finally say, let's figure something out. And then Tomlin shows up somewhere else.
Like the Giants.
And let me ask you, if I may.
The Giants would be a bad spot. I think Tomlin is 100% going to be a coach in this league for as long as he wants to be. But I totally understand that Steeler fans are like, we're done with seeing something that has flashes of excellence in the regular season only to wane prior to the playoffs. This wane is now the middle of the season, but we are still, let's be honest, 8 days removed. 1 week ago, we were talking about how the Steelers look terrific and the Colts, they turn him back into a pumpkin, and the reverse happened. And I'm telling you, last night was a home game. Last night was 100% a home game for the Steelers, and they just blew it. And you got to tip the cap to the Chargers,
correct,
though.
But the Steelers have become the retirement home. Wilson last year Aaron Rodgers this year, I mean, if we can get him, you know, to stop burning the incense out there and maybe come alive a little bit, we might have something. Every throw, and again, I get it was just last night, and he's done some good things, but come on. I mean, do we not have Will Howard on our team?
Oh, well, he was hurt. No, you're not turning to Will Howard, nor Mason Rudolph, which was brought up by Chris, I'm assuming tongue a little bit in cheek because it was an overreaction Monday subject matter on our podcast. And
sure.
Thanks for the call, Michael. I mean, it's just, it's Rodgers. Like, that's what the Jets did for two years. It's Rodgers is, you put your eggs in that basket, which is why I would have gone ahead and gotten another receiver in the trade deadline. To heck with the fourth, fifth, or sixth round draft choice. Let's go. I mean, let's go. They're clearly missing a gear on offense. I don't know why he can't connect with DK Metcalf in the same way that, you know, he did on occasion with Garrett Wilson. I don't know why that is. I have no idea. But something just isn't working. It's not clicking. A little bit off is what Rodgers called himself on Sunday night. And the next final eight games are a measuring stick, as they should be. It is the National Football League. The good news is you're going to finish up your series with Cincinnati prior to Joe Burrow returning, which our friend Jay Glazer just tweeted out from Fox that he is expecting Joe Burrow's 21-day window that just opened in the early parts of this hour for him to return from it, which means in the next 3 weeks, you're going to see Joe Burrow, and that might be a Week 13 Cincinnati date against San Francisco, against Baltimore on that Thanksgiving night, by the way. You think and NBC's rooting for that one on Thanksgiving night, that Burrow returns on Thanksgiving night? Just in time to potentially save that season again, if their season is savable. And then after that, you send Rodgers to Chicago and hope that he finds that magic there again, which wouldn't be surprised if he did. Home against Buffalo, which at this point in time could be hit or miss on which Bills team shows up. Is it the one that beat the Chiefs, the one that smoked the Carolina Panthers, or the ones that just got beat in Miami, similar to the way that they got beat in Atlanta? Which one is that going to show up? And then you do have a Monday night home date against Miami where I imagine Mike McDaniels will look as cold as they always do whenever they're on the road. At Detroit before two home dates, let's go. I mean, you're not making a change. You're not going to Mason Rudolph or Will Howard. It just isn't it. You've got a guy neck up who's one of the best ever. And if physically he can do the stuff like he did against Cincinnati in Cincinnati to win that game, or against the Colts to win that, help win that game on the defensive side, finally catching up to what the offense was doing with Rodgers, then you can win more games. This might be a little bit knee jerk, but it does look like the Ravens are coming to try and take him straight out. And if the Ravens go from 1-5 to beat a team that went from 4-1 or whatever they are, maybe it is time for the Steelers to just sit down with Tomlin and say, where do you want to go? Because we'll let you set that up. Certainly if the Giants are raising their hand saying, we'll take you, Mike Tomlin. You can coach up that defense and let's find the offensive coordinator for Dart. Just as an example. Ripped straight from the headlines of hour number two of this Week 10 Monday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Al in Dallas. What's up, Albert?
I'm in right now for what you said.
Okay.
I mean, we've had seven coaches since Tomlin's been in Pittsburgh. It's got to stop. I mean, it has to stop. We need to bring a legitimate head coach in there to help run this organization that knows what the hell he's doing. This is insane. I mean, that defense, if I told you in the beginning of the year, you know, and I was playing tongue-in-cheek when I put my prediction, but in the beginning of the year, that defense plays with zero heart. Zero. It's embarrassing how poor that defense played. And I don't want to see Jackson Dart. Jackson Dart has nothing to prove. Jackson Dart's good to go. He's legit. He's the reason why you want to come here. I don't want to see that kid on the field for the rest of the year. I mean, you just put him in harm's way. This is insane. I like Daboll too, but man, we need a lockdown professional. Immediately. And if the Pittsburgh Steelers fans who've been whining and complaining since they hired this guy in 2007, if they want to fire him, we'll take him in a heartbeat. It's crazy.
Well, I mean, if you I appreciate the two cents, Alan, and obviously won't want to hear from you as you've been one of our regulars since day one. Thanks for the call. I mean, that's a giant fan right there. Who would take Tomlin in a heartbeat? And I know, again, this is middle of the season, and it's stirring something up. And I know Tomlin doesn't want to hear any of this stuff. And I'm sure he's just sitting in his film room or his office or whatever, going about his business to get ready for the Cincinnati Bengals next. Because they need to win that game, and they do. They're 6-4. They've split with the Bengals, and then they move merrily forward into the teeth of their November and December schedule. But I will just say this. Giants have an opening, and the Giants and the Steelers owners sit next to each other at every owner's meeting. Every owner's meeting. They are tight. There's a reason why one of the actresses from the Mara family's first name is Rooney, by the way.
Yep.
So that will only intensify if the Steelers start to fall apart, or they just stumble into the playoffs, or they get to the playoffs and don't win, or they stumble and don't make the playoffs. That'll be the conversation to be had.
What about Bill?
Belichick for the Giants?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, Chris, and I'm saying this with the ultimate of respect, and I know I'm going to be getting and stepping in a direction. Let me ask you this. Would you want to hand a young quarterback off to him and say, oh, who are you going to get for him? Joe Judge? You're going to get Patricia to stop being the defensive coordinator for the first overall ranked Buckeyes? Bring him in? I mean, I understand. Like, that would be amazing.
If the GM and ownership group, you say, hey, Bill, this is going to be our OC. Why not have Bill for a couple years?
I'm sure Bill's looking to
get the ship back on track. The Giants have been awful this decade. They need someone to write this thing. Chance to come home, give Bill a chance to save face with the way his career's gone the last few years.
And I know they love Bill. I mean, who doesn't in New Jersey? Who doesn't for Giants fans? And he's still the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
But
he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
The way that he will be. It's in.
You'll have a Hall of Famer on the sideline.
But as a Patriot fan, would you counsel the Giants to do that? Yes or no?
Yes, with a caveat that he does not get to choose who the OC is for this young quarterback.
Why would you ever put any sort of thing on Bill Belichick? Like, this is the way we want you to do it.
If he wants to coach in the NFL again and get the all-time record, you say, Bill, this is how it's got to be. Interesting if Tomlin says no.
I don't know why Tomlin would say no if things fall apart there and he has to sit there and wonder, you know what? I could be the coach of the Giants for a long time to come. And I am part of and honestly, you got to take stock. You sit there and go, I don't know. Again, I shouldn't say this sort of thing because there's so much of a personal aspect of it. I think he's now an empty nester. He must love living in Western PA, all of that stuff. There's a personal thing to this, but just the football wise sort of thing. We just had a caller from Arkansas, a Steeler fan, talk about why are we constantly, you know, in the geriatric mode of the quarterback spot. Jackson Dart is a massive plus for this job. Massive. Massive. Scataboo, Neighbors, the high draft choice, defense that can get after it. Get after it with young people getting after it. There's a lot of reasons to take this Giants job over other ones that are going to be open.
Yeah, there's going to be at least, what, 4 or 5 others usually? There's always in that 6 to 8 number each year.
I want to take a moment here before we take a break. Paul Tagliabue passed away on Sunday. And this one hit me personally because he was one of the first people I met after I was hired to host the NFL Network. As a matter of fact, in our green room, hung up in there is a letter I received when I lived on the Upper West Side of Manhattan from Paul Tagliabue, a welcome aboard letter from him. I saved everything, the piece of paper and the envelope, because it kind of felt big when I was hired by NFL Network in 2003 after being handed a cardboard box by our current Rich Eisen Show benefactors up in Bristol, Connecticut. Just about 8 days before I got married. And so if you don't mind putting it back up there, Mike, he hand wrote out at the end, most important for now, and parentheses he wrote, and the long-term exclamation point, congratulations on your marriage to Susie, who he had never met by that point. A personal touch from the commissioner of the National Football League. And obviously, the NFL Network is not born without Paul Tagliabue's stewardship. And I'll never forget, we're in our first year, I think, of NFL Network. There was an Irish bar down the street from our studio in Culver City. And after a show, Tagliabue showed up. He was, by the way, the first ever guest in the history of NFL Network. We interviewed him and showed him how he is in the top 5 or 10 rebounders in the history of Georgetown basketball. He was a tall man who played hoops for Georgetown before, obviously, he became what he became, a lawyer and then the commissioner of the NFL for 17 years. And I remember going with him, Joe Brown, who was the keeper of the flame at his right-hand man, and also the COO of the time, his eventual successor, Roger Goodell. We all went with the crew after an NFL Total Access to the Irish bar and
drank.
and the bartender and the people there were so excited to have the commissioner of the NFL in there. They handed him a shillelagh. There's a photograph of Tagliabue holding a shillelagh and just, you know, just cutting loose is only, you know, one would think he could. Like, that's as far as I've ever seen him cut loose. And then just, again, his stewardship of the NFL Network, so crucial, part of the 17 years highlighted by very important items on his to-do list, expanding the league from 28 to 32 teams. If you're a fan of the Panthers, the Jaguars, the Texans, or the Cleveland Browns, he's the one that expanded to those spots, including giving Cleveland its franchise back. Let's not forget, he was the one when 9/11 happened, that he was the one who canceled the games that weekend, and everybody was looking for his leadership to what do we do? What do we do? A lot of other sports leagues were like, what do we do? The NFL canceled its games, and then a bunch of others did follow suit. If you're a fan of the Saints, you still have a team because this man refused to let Katrina blow the Saints off the NFL map from New Orleans. I'll never forget NFL Network. We were there that night when the Superdome reopened on a Monday night. We all remember what happened in that game. That was when Steve Gleason blocked a punt. There's a statue in front of the stadium that still holds the Saints because it told Paul Tagliabue from that night.
The moving of the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Man, there was just so much that he helped with us at NFL Network. And, you know, 17 years, no labor stoppages. This is after two strikes in 82 and 87. This handshake came at an owner's meeting that we were covering here. He was so welcoming to all of us at NFL Network. We worked at his largesse and beck and call. And I'll never forget, I asked him once, one of the first things I did prior to NFL Network launching is he brought a contingent of NFL folks to Lambeau Field for the opening of the 2003 season. NFL Network didn't come on the air till week 11 of the 03 season. And he was leading a contingent to Lambeau Field because they had just renovated. And Dante Culpepper spoiled the party. Never forget Joe Brown. I love you, Joe. He said to me, he goes, Rich, sitting next to Tagliabue, he goes, so, Vikings beating the Packers, did that knock you out of your survivor pool? And I'm like, Joe, I don't know what you mean. Because he was asking me if I was gambling in front of the NFL commissioner, and Tagliabue laughed at that. But I did ask Tagliabue on that flight home, I asked him, because he invited me to come with them, which was very welcoming again. He didn't have to do that. And I asked him, I said, you know, you came up through the ranks as a lawyer for Washington. and you were a season ticket holder. Do you still have your season tickets? And he said, no, because when he took the job from Pete Rozelle, Rozelle told him that you no longer have one team in mind. You have all teams in mind. And the only team you root for as commissioner is the team that's losing because you want close games. And I'll never forget that. Is basically, he's just like, it's all about these games, the competition, and what's going on the field. Obviously, there's lots of the business acumen I'm sure I was not privy to. And we do all know, you know, what was going on with concussions at the time. And he even said at the end of his career, he regretted a lot of the things that he was saying on that front while he was commissioner for 17 years. And I'm sure there's some folks listening to me right now saying I should be mentioning that. And you know, he talked about it himself. But he was always about the shield. He was always for us at NFL Network. My yep. God, without him, there wouldn't be one up the road. And for that, I say thank you. I'm forever in his debt there. And to his wife, Chandler, his son, Drew, his daughter, Emily, his extended family, and of course, his National Football League family, I say rest in peace. Paul Tagliabue passed away at the age of 84 on Sunday.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Rich Eisen here for Sonos, the speakers that bring every game to life in my own house. With studio quality sound, Sonos makes you feel like you're right there in the stadium. Whether you're cheering on your team, binging your favorite show, or listening to the hottest songs, Sonos fills every room with incredible sound. Setup is easy. Just plug in, open the Sonos app, and you're ready to go. Want stadium quality sound at home just like me? Because I love Sonos. You will too. Explore soundbars, speakers, and more at Sonos.com. Sonos, they look as good as they sound.
If you've shopped online, chances are you've bought from a business powered by Shopify. You know that purple Shop Pay button you see at checkout? The one that makes buying so incredibly easy? That's Shopify. And there's a reason so many businesses sell with it. Because Shopify makes it incredibly easy to start and run your business. Shopify is the commerce platform behind 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. From household names like Mattel and Gymshark to brands just getting started. Shopify gives you a leg up with hundreds of beautiful, ready-to-go templates to express your brand style and forget about the code. Tackle all those important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more. Spread your brand's word with built-in marketing and email tools to find and keep new customers. And did I mention that iconic purple Shop Pay button that's used by millions of businesses around the world? It's why Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. Your customers already love it. If you want to see less carts being abandoned, it's time for you to head over to Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/network. Go to shopify.com/network. shopify.com/network.
Let me talk to you a little bit about Sonos, the speakers that bring every game to life at my house and all the music that we listen to. Trust me, when one son likes Kendrick Lamar and another son likes Taylor Swift, you need to have separate rooms playing music.
Yep.
All right?
I'd imagine.
I'm just saying, just to keep the peace.
Well, you know, Taylor and Kendrick did a song together.
They,
though, so
yeah.
You've got to do something to that.
That's great. I think maybe we'll find mutual respect.
Yeah.
And we'll play Sonos, that song, in one room. How about that? Because you can zone it up, basically. Every room is its own zone, whether you're listening to music or watching your big-time football or a sports event on your television. If you want stadium-quality sound at home just like me, explore the soundbars, speakers, and more at Sonos.com. Sonos, they look as good as they sound. So, listen, blowouts galore, right? Yesterday.
Yeah, we'll the late games for sure.
Well, I guess, obviously, there wasn't a blowout with Houston coming back from 19 down on Jacksonville.
Right.
The Bears coming back from 10 down on the Giants. There's also a nice game, tight game between the Patriots and the Bucks that we talked about to lead this show.
Yep.
But in terms of intensity and in terms of excitement and in terms of whole country kind of sitting down to watch, how about the big noon game on Fox?
Oof.
where Indiana put its undefeated record on the line, trying to win for the first time in Happy Valley, which desperately needed a win with their interim head coach. And they come back from double digits down to take the lead. And guys, this catch by Omar Cooper Jr. of Fernando Mendoza's perfectly thrown ball at the, I mean, he was, Mendoza was so on point in this final drive.
It's amazing.
Was so spectacular. But this catch in the back of the end zone, high pointing it, and then getting his, look, did he get both feet down?
I thought that as well. I'm like, dang, this was an NFL legit catch.
But he wasn't. He got one.
That's all he needed, obviously. That's all he needed.
But yeah, people are saying he got two.
Just let me give it. Give it up to Penn State for giving Indiana a game. Give it up to Indiana for coming back after blowing the lead. Give it up to the quarterback who was so dynamite. Gus Johnson, when he finally got his voice back, said, give him the Heisman now, which I'll be honest with you, even as a Wolverine, I'm just saying that's not done yet. Okay? Because Julian is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And Jeremiah Smith, too. But this kid Mendoza was awesome. And that catch was amazing. And all I could think of was this. Let's just say, I'm not trying to speak this into existence. Let's just say Ohio State does beat Michigan for the first time since 2019. Okay?
Okay.
In the Big House. Which is a distinct possibility, to be very honest.
There's a chance.
So Indiana and Ohio State, being undefeated, are going to play a meaningless game, which the Big Ten championship now is. So one of these undefeated teams will go into the playoffs off a loss and not undefeated. And I don't want to hear like, hey, it's for a bye week or it's for seeding or any of that stuff. Because the equivalent would be this. Last year, the Lions and the Vikings played each other for the top seed, the winning of the division, and going into the playoffs as a road team. And this would be that.
Yep.
But last year, the Lions and Vikings had to play because it was on their schedule.
Yeah.
This is just like, let's do it so we can rake in more cash in a system that has now made such games fully antiquated. And let's give a team that's sitting at home a leg up. Let's show them Indiana and Ohio State spilling their guts out before you may have to play one of them as a more defrayed team because they've played one more game. And you didn't make your conference championship, but you still make the playoffs. You get to sit at home. You get to not put a thing on the line. You get to put nothing on tape, on film at all. It's so stupid. And that's coming down the pike. That's possible. Why make Indiana? Like, if Indiana plays Ohio State undefeated, now you've got a playoff in which to do it. Now you put it for all the marbles, and whoever wins stays undefeated and maybe wins it all.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.